Bridging is a podcast produced by me, Özlem Özkan. If you're inspired by this episode, and if you only share good things with your friends, family members, or colleagues, please think of bridging next time. If you have any questions, please ask it in the comments of the latest post on Instagram at Özkan Özlem, at OZKANOZLEM. It's Özlem Özkan, and this is Bridging, a podcast which will take you on a bridge to somewhere else, sometimes somewhere familiar, and sometimes somewhere new. In Bridging, I interview life experts with a story to share. Stories of entrepreneurship, cultural diversity, self-empowerment, personal growth, and other topics that shape our universe.
For me, it was life or death, in the sense that's how I felt about it. It was whether I make this work or I die homeless in the street. And so for me, it was this life or death where I would wake up, I'm obsessed over it, and I'm doing it because if I don't do it, I'm going to die, kind of an attitude.
Wal and I are back in episode 9 of Bridging. Last week, we talked about money. This week, we're going to talk about how Wal moved from earning $50 a month to building a million-dollar business in coaching. Wal is very generous. He's generously giving us insights about how the bamboo tree they have planted started growing. Wal is talking about a visionary role and an integrator role when building a business. He believes that teamwork can really create dream work. But what do you do if you do not have a team and if you are the only person when building your company? Here's Wal. So Wal, going a little bit back to your business, I don't know if you can give us actually even numbers, but how did you build this business in 6 years time? And are you already a million-dollar business? I'm just curious to ask because there are a lot of entrepreneurs listen to this podcast and they might be also not 28, but 35, 40 or older or also young. I'm really curious to hear how you have built it on this young age.
Our business was kind of like, I can't speak to any other business, but our business was sort of like the Chinese bamboo in a sense where for 7 years to grow bamboo, shoot, you have the Chinese bamboo at least. It's you plant it and you know in advance for 7 years, you're going to have to water it every year and you're not going to see anything for about 7 years. And then on the end of the seventh year, it all automatically just kind of shoots up. And that's sort of how our business felt, where for 3 years, we were struggling. We didn't actually know because at the same time, we were sort of working out the service for 3 years, working almost daily with people. Managing what works, what doesn't work, so we were sort of doing our own research, building up a service, building up some sort of solution to clients for clients that kind of needed some sort of emotional well-being support. And so for 3 years, where I was probably making $50 a month, you know, living at my parents. I even was crazy enough to get married during that time. So it shows okay. That my wife really loved me at that point because it wasn't.
Without being a wealth.
Right. So like we were poor, struggling, living in our parents' house. Fantastic. Great times. And for 3 years. So, but then something sort of, at the fourth year, we sort of clicked and we were like, okay, the service is good enough. The method is good enough. The clients seem to be getting consistent results. About 97% of people get results. So we were like, okay, well then that's good enough, right? We had some sort of solution.
Service methods result. You said the service was good enough.
Yeah. So the service of like the actual kind of the product or like the services that we're providing. So like training people how to use the technique, using the technique and coaching them themselves. So the business in itself is we have the MAP method. And that method, that sort of method, we built, it took about 3 years to really like research and make sure it was good enough and it was solid enough. And then the service itself was like coaching, actual doing sessions with people for business owners and for stay-at-home moms and things like that. And then also training people on how to use it. And for 3 years, we were researching, figuring out how to make it as good as possible. And then at the fourth year, it actually started growing. And I figured that's kind of how some businesses, at least that's how our business grew, was like for 3 years, practically nothing happened. We would work every day. Sundays were not a weekend. Christmas was a half weekend almost. You know, like there's a lot of work that goes into it at the first part of a business. And then the second stage of it was really like building a team and figuring out who was good at what. And the cool thing with, well, at least my mom was very visionary. I don't know if you've ever read the book Rocket Fuel.
No.
Well, Rocket Fuel talks about this dynamic between the visionary and the integrator. And these two, when they're collaborating together, creates rocket fuel.
Who has written this book?
I'm not quite sure of the author anymore, but that's exactly what was necessary for me and my mom. Actually, I ended up falling into the business at the beginning when I was not really doing anything with my life. And I was an integrator. So my mom was this visionary. She had these big ideas. She knew that the MAP method was going to be a really powerful thing if we were able to systemize it and test it and like kind of hone it in. And so she presented this to me and I said, well, that's not practical enough. And I started sort of organizing the vision a little bit and systemizing it. And so with the visionary identity, like as my mom would be, and me being the integrator, we were this good core nucleus of a team. And it was actually the team that made it all possible. The people you meet and that want to meet with you and that want to work with you is the absolute foundation of any business, I'd say.
Great team, actually, initially, your mom and you. I like that, the visionary and the integrator.
The visionary is more like, I have this big vision and I want to do these things and here's another idea, and here's another idea, and here's another idea. And then the integrator has to take all these ideas and they go, they're sort of like the filter and the practicum of it. So then they go like, oh, well, that idea doesn't necessarily fit with where we're at right now. And then this idea, that's great, but how are we going to do it? Let's do these five steps. Let's take action on that.
Is that the engineer, mechanic?
I say so. My dad is an integrator per se. And so, like I said, my mom's a visionary, like idea machine generator. So I sort of learned from both of them. And then I decided, well, for me to make a living, I actually want to play on my strengths, which is more of an integrator. I like the nitty-gritties. I like the details. If someone gives me a big idea, I won't believe in it necessarily unless I can find some sort of strategy and how it relates to our current experience and what we need to do about it. So you kind of need that in a business.
So what would you say to entrepreneurs that are just, you know, start up with only one person? Like, for example, I'm an entrepreneur, but I don't work with anyone myself, you know, and I kind of move constantly between the visionary and the integrator, like what I have understood from what you said. And, you know, and then sometimes as an integrator, I don't have time to create a vision. And as a visionary, I need to do the work, you know, the work needs to be done. And thanks God, I have now two very good people in my sounding board, which I ask questions and I said, please challenge me, tell me something, what is not good or what I should do. But, you know, I'm constantly moving in between.
Yeah, that's the whole catch 22. Like you need a job, but
the
catch 22 of the common, like you want a job, but you need a job to get the job. And
yes, you need experience to get the job. You need to have work experience, then we will hire you. But, you know, I just start here.
It's the same for all startup entrepreneurs. You have to end up doing everything. At first, you have to sort of be willing to change hats, per se, of like the visionary and the integrator, especially if you're doing it alone. It is probably one of the most difficult things to do it alone. I think one of the big ideas is sort of don't rely on any, don't be like obsessed to like, don't overcompensate and try to and grab anyone you can find, but you are gonna need to at one point let go and say, I can't do it alone. Like, you're going to have to say, this person is really good at something that I'm not good at, and I'm going to want to team up with them and work with them. Now, like straight off the bat, so we had the visionary. I was in an integrator. And so like at first, my mom was just a visionary and nothing was really happening. She had these really big ideas and she was doing stuff on her own. But then when I came along and added on, growth happened. It was like rocket fuel. There was exponential growth. I created a system on how the method should be applied, when it should be applied, where and for who, and like what little subjects. And then that ended up progressing into systemizing the method. And then I was able to create a system on how to teach people week by week. And that's, and so like, you need to kind of figure out what are you somewhat good at, and then figure out how to find people, or you're just going to randomly find people, I think, that are good at what you're not good at. And I think a big issue with entrepreneurs nowadays is especially the people that we train is, first off, like, you think you have to do like a lot of different things. Like, you feel like you have to do funnels. You feel like you have to learn copywriting. You have to do email campaigns. You think you have to the niche. What's your niche? What's your vision for the company? What's your culture? What's your brand?
Social media.
Social media posts. All that is, and then if you're all alone, you think, okay, I have to do everything. And I think the big issue is big choices are going to have to be made. Where are you going to have to spend the money to actually learn the skill? So take a course on how to learn it, which is the most obvious thing. All the ads are on learn how to market, learn how to copyright, learn how to storytell. Like, it's because they know that the market expects that they need to do everything themselves. And you get stuck that way, frankly, or you're just a freaking genius and you're going to learn everything, but it's going to take you a long time to put it all together if you're going to put it together at all. But what I learned was it will practically take you the same amount of money to learn something than to actually hire a professional to do it with you. So I realized that it's probably most of the time better to hire someone than to actually learn to do it. But when you're just getting started, it's good to know what you're doing. It's good to have an idea.
Yes, I just wanted to say that, like, you know, for example, with the editing part of my podcast, I have done it initially fully by myself and I know the software, you know, I can do it well, but I found out I didn't have time really for the visionary part, because one editing podcast takes sometimes 10 hours. So luckily enough, I found someone very good, which is doing it for me. But I know also if he would come and say like, Özlem, it takes too long time, I know how it is because I've been there. I have worked with it and I can also guide it a little bit. But I totally also agree with, like, initially I was so much on, I need to learn social media, I need to do this. Everything needs to be also perfect. Everything needs to be perfect. Even in my podcast, in the first and second interview, I was just deleting some words that I use not right because I'm not a native speaker, you know. And now I'm like, you know, I'm just talking here and it doesn't disturb the whole conversation, so leave it. But yeah, I just want to touch one thing that you earlier said about this Chinese bamboo tree. So you said, like, you know, for 7 years long, we had to water it every day and then it was just shooting out. But two parts of the question. First question is, did you know that you bought a bamboo tree when you just started? And the second question is, did you do constantly at every time of the same time of the day, did you water it then, or did you kind of adjust all the time in 7 years because you tried this out and it didn't work, so you just went this way, it didn't work, or how was that?
Right. Did you find a good idea? How do you know your idea is good enough, or like, is it gonna succeed?
Yes.
That's why you need a visionary, because the visionary idea doesn't care, in the sense that it's you kind of get a sensation if it has solved an issue for you, then you're excited and it could sort of, the thing is, has it sort of solved some sort of issue for you? Are you excited about it? And then has it sort of solved issues for other people around you? And it's kind of like the niche question where entrepreneurs will actually get, there's actually a big theme around getting stuck in a niche inconsistencies and like confusion, where coaches will actually stay stuck and never actually choose a niche because like you said, they're not sure the bamboo tree is going to actually grow. Like they're not sure if it's, you actually just have to try. But if, as long as you get some sort of excitement of understanding that it's not just about you, but it has actually helped other people, or like that's what other people are somewhat like interested in, then you have a vision for it and you really like that pumps you up and you're excited and it's meaningful, you're going to gain something out of it, even if you quote unquote fail. But it's worth trying if you've somewhat worked, it's worked for you, or it's something you're passionate about because it's helped you in some way, shape or form. And then you've seen it, or other people have done something similar and they're also kind of enjoying it or passionate about it. We knew that the MAP method was the right bamboo tree to plant for us because first off, we were learning from Dr. Gary Fuente, Theory and Treatment of Your Personality. And we actually got in contact with him and we called him and we asked him questions about the process healing method that he was doing. And then Colette took the book and actually started applying it with her clients.
Colette is the visionary right? Per se,
yeah.
Your mom.
And she took the book, she learned it and started applying it with her clients. And she was able to actually help people with multi-personality disorders. And like everyone's looking for that last cornerstone of a family situation where we can support each other emotionally. We knew that that was a big issue. We know that our mindset and our emotions are a huge part of our lives and we always need to handle that. So we knew that that's a very, it was an important thing. And we saw it working for ourselves and for others. And we said, let's just commit if we're passionate about it, let's commit our time. And now then the watering piece was basically an obsession in the sense that for me, it was life or death in the sense. That's how I felt about it. It was whether I make this work or I die homeless in the street, not able to support my girlfriend, not able to support my future wife. She's going to leave me and I wouldn't blame her for it. And so for me, it was this life or death where I would wake up, I'm obsessed over it, and I'm doing it because if I don't do it, I'm going to die, kind of attitude.
So you were in it to win it.
I was in it to make it work. And I wasn't in it for a millionaire status either. And I'm only in it. I was only in it to, that's the integrator in me. I was only in it to make it like just a living. If I could just live on my own and support my wife, that's all I wanted. I wanted to just be comfortable.
I was in it to make a living.
I was in it to make a living.
So you said like I was not initially in it to get a millionaire status. Did you get a millionaire status?
No, I'm not, and I'm comfortable with just six figures and all the rest of the money that we make from our company. We invested back into the company. That's basically how we go about it. Any profit we make goes back into employees, people who work for us, and into like product development or things like that.
But you actually like kind of met higher goals than you kind of set for yourself.
Yeah, I got to a level where I didn't dream to be able to make as much money as I did. And so then eventually I was like, I don't need more. And then now we invest back into the company and all that jazz.
So Val, you said like, you know, that you are also like coaching people to coach the method that you have started.
Well, technically I teach them a technique and they use it to help their clients.
How was the experience for you that you as in your mid-20s or 22, 23 year old, you came to teach people that might be even maybe in the psychology industry, coaching industry for many years, women, men in their 50s, 60s, 40s. And then you come out there.
Yeah. In my living room. In the living room of my parents, by the way.
In the living room. What does that mean?
That was quite interesting because I didn't feel qualified at all, right? It basically, I was sitting, I was teaching in my living room, these people, about 10 at a time in our living room, where we would find them randomly. I mean, we would find them through word of mouth. I mean, that was the startup marketing. When you say startup, that really is you're talking to people. It's the only marketing is coming from you talking to other people. So we would find these people, they'd be really interested, and I would be the teacher. And I was like, Mom, why aren't you the teacher? You're older than me. And she was like, no, you're the integrator. You're the one that structured it anyways. So, and you're the one that said that like the stuff wasn't organized enough. And so we've organized it because of you. So you teach it. And I was like, all right, here I go. So I put on my $50 suit and shirt and stuff, and tried to look professional as best I could with my little PowerPoint in the living room. And we would do these week-long basic workshops, seminars, where I would teach them from beginning to end the method. Definitely, after every time I finished, I tell Colette, who was my mom, but the visionary at the time, I was like, I can't do, this is not good. I'm not doing good enough. And I think this is the whole point of having a team, is when you think you're not doing good enough, or when you think like you're a failure, someone else can actually tell you, shut up and keep moving. And throughout those years of so then eventually we ended up having a plan. So this was interesting. We actually ended up moving from physical locations, training in a physical place, to online. And we're at the verge of saying, okay, our marketing, we want to start marketing this now. We want to start putting some dollars behind our marketing. We don't know how yet, but we're going to want to seem more professional instead of just doing them in the living room. And at that point we were thinking, okay, let's do it like how everyone else is doing. Let's do physical rooms. Let's book a hotel room. Let's book tables. Let's book, you know, and let's do them in different cities. So we're going to have storage space for massage tables for people to lay down and be the clients. We're going to have, and in every city, we're going to have storage places. How much is it all going to cost? How much are we going to have to charge for these events? What are they going to be, how are we going to be doing these? And it was quite uncomfortable because this felt like an impossible task, but it felt like a necessary thing that we had to do. Now, I think a lot of entrepreneurs will think that, like, sometimes you get put in this space where your only viewpoint is, this is the only way out, this is the only way forward, and it feels incredibly uncomfortable. Well, actually, someone told us, you're going to fail. This is not going to be profitable. And Colette took that in and said, no, screw you. We're going to make it profitable, but the way we're going to make it actually work is we're going to do it online. So then the next day, Colette was like, throw away all this hotel stuff, figure out how to do this online. And there came this whole journey of learning how to do the online classes, learning how to do sort of like using the method online, because we never did that before, really. So I was given this full job at 23 to figure out how to train people online in an effective way, because I would feel bad about myself if I did anything worse than a good job. So I sort of obsessed over that, and we ended up turning the training into an online training. We had our first classes online from people from Australia and all over the world, and it just exploded from there. It made it so much easier for us to actually expand our business. And due to the coronavirus, we haven't really been affected because we're not doing anything physical anymore. Our whole business is online, and it's great. Yeah. I mean, that's kind of how we went about doing it. But the whole time, every once in a while throughout the journey, you feel, especially if you're like an integrator like me, or you feel like you're a perfectionist, and you feel like, I'm just not doing a good enough job, and people deserve better. You need someone to say, well, at least for me, I needed someone to say, shut up and keep doing it. And that was exactly what I needed to just sort of go, okay, maybe I am over exaggerating. Let's just keep moving forward. And eventually you pass certain success points where you look back and go, that is actually true. I did do a good job and stuff like that. So you need a team sometimes to just push you forward.
So do you also say then, with you being uncomfortable, because also maybe the age part, did you feel that your mother or an older person than you actually was super comfortable that you, with you being 23 and teaching a group of students which are in their 40s, 50s, 60s.
The crazy thing is I've had no issues because we know what we're talking about, and I know I've spent years, and they ask me questions, I answer them in the best possible manner I can. If they ask me a question that I don't know, I will go and figure it out. I think people actually don't care about your age; they care about your commitment to their success. I know that sounds weird, and it sounds weird for me. I might feel privileged, or I don't know. I might have some sort of privilege or whatever, but I think people felt that. I gave them something that improved their lifelong passion for learning. I gave them something that exponentially sort of improved everything. So they felt that. They didn't question. I've never had a question of my age or my experience, because as they ask me questions, we get them to grow to another level.
One thing, Val, what really is surprising me is you said, we build an online business just 1 year after you started the whole business. But I don't really see any social media involved in this. I don't see that you're using Instagram. Maybe you have Facebook groups, but you don't have Facebook groups, right? Do you have Facebook groups? Yeah, indeed. How do you build something without using Instagram and Facebook? And you do it online. Yes, without using them. I need explanation for this.
Frankly, it's a shiny object, social media. I learned that early on. We do have, LinkedIn, I don't barely ever focus on that. Facebook is possibly our only social media that we really care about, if we want to say it that way. Instagram, we're there. We want to provide some sort of value to people who want to participate on Instagram. We provide as much value as we can on Facebook. We focus on one social media, which is Facebook. But I actually think social media is incredibly overrated. What is needed for a business are three things that I learned is, first off, your message, your niche. Is the bamboo tree effective? Do you think you've gotten something super important out of it? And do other people think that it's super important? And is it solving some sort of problem? Or in maybe it's sort of like the media version, is it attention grabbing? Is it a story that people really want to hear? And that's necessary first off. And then kind of connecting it to is it the next thing that we focus on in the Map Coaching Institute or in our business is what is the offer? How is the offer at the right price for them? Are they willing to actually be able to purchase it? Do they believe that this is the solution for them? Because actually a lot of the times niches or markets, they believe that there's a certain solution, which is actually not the real solution. I know that's crazy, but people will market things that the market believes is the solution, and it's not actually the real solution to whatever problem it is. For entrepreneurs, I think a lot of people should be marketing, done for you services for startup entrepreneurs instead of learn how to spend $5,000, $10,000 on how to copyright and how to, I think there should be more of one side or another, but that doesn't sell. People, startup entrepreneurs don't want that, or they don't believe they have the money, things like that. So we focus on the message. Is it really important? Is the offer something they believe in, as well as is it a real solution? And then the result, are we getting the result fast enough? Is it easy enough? Is it simple enough? Does it surpass their expectations? Things like that. And we focus on that. And then we focus on just one social media. We focus on paid advertising and then networking and affiliate marketing, things like that. But social media posts, posting these catchy things, making our social media page look crazy amazing. In the end, it really doesn't matter if you're getting results for people and people know that you're getting results for them. They'll spread it. And if you have an honest message that resonates with people, you don't have to be famous. You don't have to be perfect. In fact, being imperfect is probably better.
I think that honesty part, that is also, I think, very, very important, because, you can have the best Instagram, Facebook, or any other social media page with people maybe follow you too. But, there should be a really part of honesty, integrity, and authenticity also in it. I think like that people really want to trust you. And then also feel like the thing, the service you provide is also a trustable something. It's not, it looks good, nice decoration. Like it might be a really nice jug to drink water from, but you know, it's so difficult to pour the water in the glass but it looks great.
Yeah, and I think there's an overcompensation happening here as well for entrepreneurs. Like you think, I think a lot of people will think they need all the social medias. They need to be seen on all the social medias, and they have to be competent at all the social medias to then be seen as a competent, trustable business, which is not true.
And then you say like focus on maybe one channel of social media instead of all of them, one, and then affiliate marketing, paid advertising, and a lot of networking.
I would say so. You start with networking. You start with finding people around you that has this a problem that your business is trying to solve. So a business, what is it? It's a solution maker. It's a solution provider. People are at point A. They have a perceived point A. They want to go to a perceived point B, their success, their desired result, right? Sales focuses a lot on that, and businesses are all about getting people from point A to point B, right? Now, the issue with niches and things like that, and like your social media will totally fail if you don't understand that. Your marketing will totally just not work most of the time if you don't understand that. But we spent 3-4 years understanding point A and point B first before we even started moving into paid advertisements, things like that, because it's incredibly important. You don't know where to go, actually. And so a business takes people from point A to point B as simple as possible, as fast as possible. People don't want a solution that takes longer than it should. People don't want a solution that's more complicated than it should. And people want a solution that provides them more than what they were aware of they needed. So if you focus on these things, then that's going to help with like growing, getting the word out, things like that. And if you focus on point A, point B, you can actually kind of talk to people, and they'll actually resonate with it. And that's what we had to make sure we're doing. Because I think, let me just say one last thing here. The biggest issue I see with niches or getting started with a business is you idealize the idea of your business, and it's all sort of in your mind, and you think it's like this perfect entity thing. But the actual issue is it has not been put out in the world, and your niche has to be externally created, per se. It has to be externally visible. It has to come from other people having this problem and other people aching and really needing a solution for it. And as an entrepreneur, you sort of have to get out of your own self and look at other people and say, what is really their problem? What are they aching for? And can I provide that to people? And if you start talking and they get interested, that's your sign of a little bamboo tree you can start planting and putting effort into.
Okay, and then you know about this A and B, you said like going from A to B, the first 3 years you were really busy with that, figuring out. But what I also think is many people know where to go, the B part, but sometimes they don't know where they stand at that moment. Like, you know, for example, they are in New York, but they want to go from Boston to Chicago, but they are in New York. And then, you know, how do you figure that out? How do you really know where you are? Is that, again, you need to be aware of it, you need to be conscious about it, and be totally brutally honest with yourself?
Yeah, I got your question. I think, like you said, it is about some sort of compassion and brutal honesty of where you're at. I think a big issue is you think you need something as an entrepreneur, and so you go, and people have done the research. They know that you think you need social media marketing. They know that you think you need all these specific things. So they're going to market that as a solution, which can be beneficial. It can work if you're in the right like stage of a business. So That's actually difficult because that's a big issue in the business world today, especially for startups, is you think you're somewhere. So you go and get this business course and then you take it and you realize you can't even apply it because you're not even at that stage yet. What's helped us the most is probably a business coach or someone who's been where you are in some way, shape, or form, and who can give you advice based off of, if they've been where you are, they can tell you appropriately where you need to go next. I can't tell you how many times me and Colette have gone to our business coach and said, this is what we need. And the coach listens nice and he goes, no, you just need to do this. And we went, oh, great. Okay. We'll do that. And I think the important thing is to violently execute whatever your advice is, or just go for it fully once you figure out kind of what you need to do. So,
yeah. Okay. So Val, it's such a nice topic. I mean, I like it a lot. I think I can learn so much from you, honestly. I mean, yes, I had also thoughts about if you're someone is younger, he's not experienced, but you're much younger than me. You are super experienced. I really like it a lot. Thank you so much for this. Is there a last message that you would like to give to people that are thinking about starting for themselves or starting any business up in a team or alone, that you would say, this is also just what I would like to give you? Or maybe also people that are already have started. So is there a last thing that you would like to say?
Just because you think you're bad doesn't mean everyone else does. So just keep be humble enough to find help and find a team or find someone that can support you along the way. It's really about the team. Not going to be at the end, it's not going to be about how much you can do, even though it is about your mindset. It's about how much you can team up with others and create something really cool and fun for others. And that's basically what has helped.
Yes. I experienced that myself too. Even though I do it alone, I ask a lot of friends that have been in different industries for some feedback and sometimes guidance. I have also days that I think, oh my God, I can't do this at all. Okay, so Val, thank you so much for this. I highly appreciate it. I would love to see you one more time again later on. We can maybe dig a little bit deeper on some subtopics that we have covered. Thank you so much for your time.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening. If you have loved this episode, please subscribe and leave a review. You can find me on Instagram at OzkanOzlem, at OzkanOzlem. If you want to let me know what you have enjoyed, or you want to share your takeaways with me, or you want to let me know what you want to hear in the next episode of Bridging, find the latest post on Instagram and leave a comment or ask a question. Thank you so much for listening.